Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. I'm glad you could join us today. Now today I'll be bringing the message from the book of Philippians chapter 2. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles in the New Testament, the book of Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to begin with verse 12, but my text is mainly verse 16. The title of the message is The Word of Life. The Word of Life. Now, the Apostle Paul had just been encouraging the members of the church at Philippi to get along, be humble, work with each other in a humility that is exemplified in the Lord Jesus Christ, and what Christ accomplished in himself and in his work on the cross, which forms the basis of Christian humility. Not only that, but the basis of the whole Christian religion. When he talked about Christ condescending, humbling himself to become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Here is Jesus Christ, God, who is the second person of the Trinity, very God of very God, as they say, the Son of God, the Word before the foundation of the world, that He humbled Himself to inhabit human flesh without sin. He had a human body. He is God with us. And He did that for the salvation of His people. He did that to die. He became obedient, a servant. Think about that. What an awesome thought. Jesus Christ, who is God, who made the worlds. Colossians chapter 1 tells us that nothing was created without Him. It was created by Him and for Him. And it consists, it holds together by Him. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? He humbled Himself to become a man. God-man without sin. And He became obedient. We read last week in Galatians 4, that God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. That means all of the responsibility of the salvation of God's elect was conditioned, placed upon Jesus Christ as God-man. And He was made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. And His work on the cross, His obedience unto death, was an actual redemption. He bought His people and He will have them. And that's what grace is all about. Grace is not God making us savable if we'll cooperate. Because the Bible says that if left to ourselves, we won't cooperate. We won't believe. We won't come to Christ. But it says here that on this basis, of the certain assurance of salvation for the people of God based upon the merits of Christ's obedience unto death. That's His blood. That's His righteousness, the righteousness of God. He says in verse 12 of Philippians 2, now listen to this. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Now think about that. You know, people take verses out of context all the time. And I promise you, I don't do that. I try not to do that. And if you think I do, then you challenge me on it. I don't mind that. Sometimes I don't have time to read all the verses that surround one particular passage, but I'm not going to consciously or purposely take it out of its context. But think about this statement. Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, what a lot of people do with that? They say, well, see there, he's saying that you got to work your way into salvation. And I've even heard people say this. I've heard people say, well, salvation is not by works, but once you get saved, you have to work to stay saved or to be rewarded. That is not what this is saying. Listen to what it says. Listen to the context. Now, he's already shown that all of the conditions and qualifications and stipulations of salvation were placed upon Christ, who alone fulfilled those conditions and those requirements and those stipulations. That's what who Christ is and what Christ accomplished is the only ground of a sinner's salvation. What I do or try not to do as a sinner saved by grace forms no part of the ground of my salvation. Now, are there things that I do and should do and not do and should not do? Yes. But that's not the ground or the cause of my salvation. Salvation is by grace. And grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So when he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, what's he talking about? Well, he's talking about continuing, persevering in the faith on the basis of what Christ did. He's not talking about trying to work your way into God's favor, trying to work your way into heaven. That's an impossibility. Work out your own salvation. You can't work out or out of your own salvation until you're saved. And you're saved by grace. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Verse 10 of Ephesians 2 goes on to say, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, the salvation comes not by my works. It comes by Christ's work. But I work out of that. In other words, I persevere. I seek to be conformed to the image of Christ. And I do it with fear and trembling. Now, fear and trembling, what is that? Fear is not legal fear of punishment. And it's not promise of mercenary rewards earned by my works. Fear is reverence and respect. Sometimes fear is consistent with faith. It's the same kind of respect and regard that a child should have for his or her parents. In other words, you obey your parents not because you're afraid they'll kick you out of the family or you'll stop being their child, but you obey them because you know they love you and you love them. It's a respect for that position. So those who work out their own salvation with fear are those who regard and respect the God of all grace. It's like saying this, I know that God is my Savior through Christ. I know I didn't earn it. I know I didn't deserve it. I am totally at His mercy. And so what I do for Him, I know that I'm not earning my salvation. He's too big for that and I'm too sinful. I know that it's because He has given me freely all things in Christ. And then this trembling. What is the trembling? Well, think about it this way. The greatest trembling that a true believer can do is to think about this. I don't want to stand before God at judgment outside of Christ. I want to know Christ. I want to know Him. I want to believe in Him. I want to follow Him. Outside of Christ, I have nothing but wrath from God. There's no love from God outside of Christ. I'm telling you now. There's no grace and mercy and compassion of God outside of Christ. Even the good things that God gives unto the heathen, if they don't ever come to Christ, if these people don't, if they don't ever see the glory of God in Christ, what will it be? It'll be a curse. You see, this trembling here is not a quaking with legal fear, thinking, oh, if I don't do enough, if I don't have enough, or if I don't live like I ought, all that. Listen to me. The trembling here is understanding that there's no hope for me, a sinner, outside of Christ. It's understanding that if God were to judge me right now, based upon my best efforts to obey Him, I would not stand. I'd be doomed forever. I must have Christ. And then he explains it in verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You see, what he's saying there is this. If I am a Christian, truly saved, what I do that's pleasing to God, number one, I'm not the source of it. Number two, I'm not the power of it. And number three, I'm not the acceptance of it. God is the source of it. God is the power of it. And it's accepted in the beloved, Jesus Christ, washed in His blood. That's what it is. Cleansed by the blood of Christ. I stand before God, whole and complete and certain for heaven's glory, based on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed, accounted to me. Now, he says on that basis, look at verse 14. He says in Philippians 2, verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless. That word harmless means sincere. In other words, sincerely seek to do well, to do good. Not to be saved, but because you already are, by the grace of God. The sons of God, you're the children. You see, a saved sinner is a child of God. And he says, without rebuke, that's correction, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That nation here is Philippi, but the whole world is crooked and perverse by nature. And then he says, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You want to shine as a light in the world. Now, how do you shine forth as a light in the world? Verse 16, here's what I'm saying. Holding forth the word of life. The word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now, here's what he's saying. He's talking about evangelism. And he says, the mission of the people of God in this world, in this crooked and perverse generation. And understand now. When he says a crooked and perverse generation, he's not just talking about the immoral, perverted world. Now, there is that segment of society that we relegate to judge as immoral and perversion. That's true. But he's talking about the religious, immoral, and perverted world. And here's what I'm saying. You need to understand this. And if you don't get this, there's no way you can understand the Bible. There's no way that you can understand the reality of what salvation is and what Christianity is and what the gospel is. And that's this. Now, this is part of holding forth the word of life. Morality, human morality, human sincerity, human religion, human charity, and human reformation do not equal righteousness before God. Now, there are times in our lives when we look out in this horizontal plane, we see men and women, boys and girls, And we see one who is just an out-and-out rebel, lawless, somebody who deserves to be in prison. And we'll say, well, that's a wicked person. And then we'll look at another person who is, as far as we can see, moral, sincere, dedicated, hardworking, charitable, compassionate. And we'll say, well, now that's a good person. We need to understand that when we make those judgments, that we're talking about how we see people on this horizontal plane. But when it comes to a right relationship with God, how do we stand? The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. It goes on to say there's none that doeth good, no, not one. The Bible says there's not a good person on earth who sinneth not. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We don't have righteousness. We can't be good enough to equal righteousness. And I'm talking about in God's sight. And we don't want it God's way. So we need to make that distinction. What am I doing right now? I'm holding forth the word of life. I'm telling you this. Pick the best person on earth that you can find. And I'm telling you that the best thing that can be said of that person as far as a right relationship with God is this. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Now here's what I'm saying. And this is what people by nature don't like to hear. You pick that best person on earth that you can think of. If God were to judge that person based on their best efforts, their most sincere efforts, their most charitable efforts, they would still fall short and deserve nothing but condemnation and death. That's all of us. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, okay. That means you don't believe salvation is by grace through the righteousness of another. The Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now that's the light. When it comes to a right relationship with God, the best efforts of the best persons on earth aimed at establishing their own righteousness are wicked and evil in the sight of God. Holding forth the word of light. Think about it. John chapter 3 and verse 19. Christ told Nicodemus, a sincerely religious, moral man, he says, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness because their deeds were evil. What deeds is he talking about? He's talking about Nicodemus's deeds, his works. The Apostle Paul, before he was converted, his name was Saul of Tarsus. And what kind of person was he? Well, he was a sincere religious Pharisee. He said, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, circumcised the eighth day, as touching the law of Pharisee. But he said, when I saw what it takes to have a right relationship with God, and that is absolute perfection, and I saw that in Jesus Christ, and what he accomplished on Calvary in his obedience unto death, he said, I count all that but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God by faith. You see, here's what I'm saying. Here, I'm holding forth the word of light, the word of life. This is the light. Now, we are in need of a righteousness we cannot produce or contribute to. Is there any hope for me? Jesus Christ, the Lord, my righteousness. That's what it is to hold forth the word of life. There's life in Christ. There's no life in me. From me, it's in Christ. If I have life, it's in Christ. And this is the word of life. This is the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Yes, it's to everyone who believes. But in order to believe, God has to give life. Christ said you must be born again or you cannot see or enter the kingdom of heaven. And if you think about these things, listen, you know, I think about the disciples over in John chapter 6. The Lord was preaching to the multitudes. And many, when they heard his message, they didn't like what they heard. And they left. They turned away from it. That's too strong for me. That's too hard for me. And he says in, it says in John chapter 6, this is verse 66 of the book of John. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. These were just false professors. They claimed to believe Christ, but they didn't. And verse 67, it says, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? And verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Holding forth the word of life. Now back in Philippians 2, the apostle Paul was encouraging the Philippians to make certain that their attitude, their behavior, their treatment of one another did not get in the way and hinder their witness of this word of life. You see, if I preach to you the gospel, but my life denies the power of the grace of God because of my bad behavior, my immoral behavior, then what good is my witness? I'm talking about as you look at me. The word of life stays the same. Listen to me now, and you need to understand this. You know, I've had people all the time say, well, if I believe what you believe, I just go out here and sin all I want to. My friend, you sin just about as much as you want to anyway. You just don't admit it. And if you don't do it in action, you do it in thought and attitude. But the gospel of God's grace, which puts all of salvation conditioned on the obedience of Christ, his obedience unto death, his righteousness alone, gives nobody an excuse to live like the devil. No, sir. Now, are there people who use it as an excuse? Yes. But that doesn't reflect on the message, the word of life. That reflects on their poor attitude, their heart, their bad ways. That reflects on them. The word of life is still the same. Grace is always grace. And it doesn't change. But we who are saved, we need to try to make our lifestyle fit with what we preach. All right? Now, no one is going to be saved by looking at the way I live. Now let me tell you something. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. What I preach to you is the word of life. And how I live is not, you can look at how I live. You, if you want to put a microscope on me, I'm going to tell you something, you're going to find a lot of fault. But I hope my lifestyle is in line with what I preach. I'm not a perfect man. Paul said we have a treasure, the gospel. The light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's broken pot, clay pots. We're just weak instruments. And you say, well, I don't believe what that guy preaches because look what he did or what he didn't do. Let me tell you something. If that's the way you feel, then the word of life has not been made life to you. The word of life stays the same. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But now Paul says, now make your, be careful. Be circumspect. One place he says, I believe over in the book of Ephesians, which means be wise. Use wisdom. Use caution. Fight the good fight of faith. War against the flesh. Don't give in to the flesh. That's not going to make you righteous because Christ is your righteousness. But because of love and grace and gratitude to him, war against the flesh. Try to live a lifestyle. But the word of life, holding forth the word of life. He says that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. And I've not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You see, it is the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and the Greek also, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The gospel, the word of life, does not reveal to you that I personally am righteous in myself by my deeds. In fact, just the opposite. The word of life, the gospel tells you that it's impossible for me to attain righteousness by my deeds. Whatever I do, the best I do, if I give all my money to the poor and live in poverty myself, that still won't make me righteous. I hear people talking about individuals who have given up so much for the poor or for the sick. And let me tell you something, that's admirable. And that's in human terms, on a human level, that's good. But I'm telling you, the word of life says this, that will not make that person righteous. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm mean or unkind or don't appreciate what they do. I'm telling you that because this is the word of life. I want life. And life cannot be attained except through one person. And one person's righteousness. And that one person is the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness alone. That's what grace is all about. You see, the grace of God puts everybody on the same plane. And that means this, we all need a righteousness we cannot produce. That's the word of life that the church is to hold forth. You see, that's why when people hear me preach, I encourage morality, but I'm not just going to give you a moral pep talk. I'm going to preach Christ to you, and I hope that that the Lord will use it to your salvation and your edification. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.